Oh, Cisco. Oh, Poncho. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that challenges all other Medicare podcasts to a Royal Rumble. And now, he might have joined Toastmasters if he weren't so bashful, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. It is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We are on the air. Actually, we're in the air, but we're coming across your electronical airwaves, I suppose, and right into your ears with Medicare information for people who are interested in learning what they're facing as they approach the age of Medicare. And that's not always age 65, because there are a lot of people who work beyond age 65. And if you're working actively and you're covered by your employer's plan, you don't have to worry about Medicare unless you want to. Now, if you work for a small employer, the rules change a little bit, and we touch on that theoretically, not as thoroughly as we would like. But in any event, this show is based on my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever, which is on sale at Amazon. What you want to do is you go to Amazon, you buy the Kindle version or the paperback version, and make sure it has the little red 2021 on the cover. And then at some point soon, I'm hoping our audio book version will be released. It's been under consideration since January 21st, and that's about right. Last year, it was January 27th to April 22nd, and then it all of a sudden just popped up for sale, and we were not informed. So we had Drew McMillan, my Canadian nephew, at the very beginning, telling you where you are and why you're here, I hope. He may not have. He may have wandered off the reservation and said something totally unrelated to Medicare. I won't know until I listen to this episode later on. And with us today is my engineer, my sidekick, and my good friend, Randy Carson, who is going to tell us about his physical condition after having a brush with the Wuhan flu. Hi, Randy. How you doing today?
I'm really pretty good, Doug. I feel good. I was going to say I look good, but...
Well, hey, listen.
I can't.
This is a...
I know you're not going to buy that, right?
No, and the audience is definitely not going to buy it. So
That's the reason we have a podcast, not a video.
And I'm right there with you. We have faces for podcasting, not for video. But in any event, it's good to see you. It sounds like you're even doing better than you were a couple of days ago when we did our first episode since New Year's Eve.
Yeah. I'm actually feeling pretty good. Oddly enough, over the course of my brush with the COVID 17, oh no, 19. Oh, yeah, actually, I got it in 21, didn't I? So I have the new version.
I don't want to have to get a microscope out to determine which one you had.
Okay, so I think I'm teasing, but I got it I got it in January. So I think they call it COVID 21. They don't. I'm teasing, but I waited around until I could get the new version.
Well, you did a wonderful job. You didn't find it under your Christmas tree, did you? Wrapped up?
No, I got it from Margaret.
Oh boy. Well,
you think you could trust your wife, wouldn't you?
I always thought she was the more conservative of you two, but apparently she ran out and captured it, brought it back home, and you actually got hit harder. She was in the hospital for a few days. You were in the hospital for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I wondered what that deal was. You know, there was a plastic crate underneath the Christmas tree, and there was one of those stickers on there that said biological products it's all like it. So she goes, no, this is yours. Open up the lid and see what's in
there. Yeah. And if you take a deep surprised breath, that's okay too.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So anyway, long story short is I'm out of the hospital. I'm glad to be out of the hospital. I'm glad to see you again on TV here. And the other thing is that I do now know what the zombie apocalypse is going to look like. Because I was in a infectious disease ward, by myself, couldn't see anybody unless they were in a hazmat suit. So bottom line is I now know what the zombie apocalypse is all going to look like.
Last time we had this discussion, I speculated that there were card games every night and you got to watch movies and have parties and stuff. But I think you dissuaded me from that opinion of the infectious disease ward.
It was not that much fun.
Oh, boy.
And every 2 hours, as in most hospitals, I don't know whether it was more often than normal because of what I was in there for. But I kid you not, every 2 hours, rain, sleet, snow and hail, dead of night, bright sunshine. They were in there taking blood, poking me, prodding me, wondering how I was doing. And I used to tell them I would be doing a lot better if you weren't poking and prodding me every 2 hours.
Wouldn't it be nice to get like a solid 8 hours of sleep before they come in and start poking and prodding?
Ain't going to happen.
Well, I'll tell you, it used to happen because back in 1954, my mother was pregnant and she was bitching and complaining and she didn't feel right. And she'd already had a couple of kids, me and my sister. And so she was finally our family doctor, who was our drinking buddy across the street, you know, basically across the road and a quarter of a mile away or so. And he and my father concocted this plan where they would put my mother in the local hospital and she would just use it as a hotel until she either felt better or until somebody figured out that her complaints were justified. So they said, okay, pack a suitcase and we'll drop you off at the hotel or at the hospital. And she was in that hospital for probably several weeks, just using it as, she's like queen of the May, you know, had their manicures done there and they delivered meals to her. You know, what would you like today and all that stuff. And then finally, after several weeks, somebody finally had a theory and they did some research and they found out she had polio. She was one of the last people in America to get polio right when the vaccine came out. So in these days, when you're all sick and you don't feel well and everything, if you go to the emergency room, they're going to kick you right out if they can't find something wrong with you to admit you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're admitted, it's not as much fun as probably my mother had when she was the queen of the May at our local hospital. So I think that's how they make you want to go home.
No, I'm pretty sure you're right. And the only reason they couldn't kick me out of there is, unfortunately, at that point in time, I couldn't breathe, which is definitely a must.
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of, it would be hard to do the podcasts without your ability to breathe.
It really is difficult when you can't breathe. But I do have one personal request for the audience.
I'm sure they're listening intently.
Definitely do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go out and buy yourself a Medicare supplement. I kid you not, if it wouldn't have been for the fact that I had a Medicare supplement, I would be working for the hospital at this point. Probably, I don't know, mowing grass. I don't know. I just imagine what 2 weeks in the infectious care ward with a single room and 47 nurses would cost.
Well, since you're over 65, we taxpayers are happy to provide that care for you. It's the alternative for you from a Medicare supplement would have been a Medicare Advantage plan.
And no.
As we know, Medicare Advantage plans in America have an average out-of-pocket limit of $5,000 per year, and some of them go up to close to $10,000. So they would have been asking you to write them a check as you were, released from the hospital. And that's not happening with a Medicare supplement plan. So if the audience wants to take Randy at his word and you want to see what it would cost for me to provide you a Medicare supplement, then just send your requests, your thoughts, your feelings, your situation, your description of your situation to us at dbj@mlmmailbag.com, and we'll hop on it with both feet. So the point of our being here is to talk about Medicare and help people feel comfortable about going through their transition from Obamacare to Medicare. And believe me, for most people, that's a big improvement. It's typically better coverage than you get on a group plan, and it is less expensive on the average. And so often we get requests for information from people that are on group plans, but yet they want to know what the deal is with Medicare. What do they have to do to prepare? How quickly, how far ahead of time do they have to prepare and everything else? And so I try to address those things. But what I've got is a stack of mail that has piled up from last fall until just recently. And I like to go through the questions that people are writing me to ask, because there are other people out there that have similar questions, and maybe I can satisfy some several people's curiosity with one fell swoop here. So what I'm going to do is read a few items from our mailbag today, and then at some point, Randy's going to wave at me on the other side of the screen and tell me I better wrap it up, because it's been several hours, and he can hear people disconnecting from our podcast. So I don't want to have that happen. We'll try to keep it short and succinct. So back in the fall, I had a question from a woman who I don't even know her first name, and her last name is very distinctive, so I'm not even going to say that. But she basically wrote and said, thanks very much. She sent in a... She went to the website, clicked on her state, which was California, and then had a short questionnaire to fill out, which gave me her date of birth, where she lives, what county she's in, and all the necessary information so that I could give her quotes for Medicare supplements. And she said, I would like to see Plan G. And I, of course, accommodated her, because I'm an accommodating kind of guy. She said further, I'm turning 65 in June of 2021. I signed up for Part A and B today. Social Security Administration gives me an application date of about 2/15/2021. I'm interested in Plan G. I read your book and I'm interested in your help to get signed up for Part G, but she means Plan G, and anything else I might need to do. Thanks. The book simplified a lot of the information that I had been wading through. Now, I got it out of date order. This is actually only a week or so old, but I sent her back quotes and I said, Plan G, you seem to be interested in Plan G. You're in Riverside County, California. So of the three companies that I use in California, one Plan G plan from a well-known, highly rated company would cost you $177.66 a month. Another company was priced at $147.57, so about $30 a month cheaper. That's a fairly obvious choice. And there's a third company that has a price of exactly $147. And then I said, because I have an irrational desire to protect the assets of my clients, I feel compelled to let you know that the best deal I have is high deductible Plan G. And that's from the same company. Number three was $147 for regular Plan G. High deductible Plan G costs $29 a month. So that's a big monthly savings that we went through the mathematics of Plan G versus high deductible G in our last episode. And Steve asked the question about it, and I wasn't sure I had done a good job of explaining it. And I got an email from Steve saying, magnificent. You did a great job explaining it. So I felt much better about that. And then he said, also, that moron that left you a negative review, doesn't he realize that your good friend Randy had the Wuhan flu, and the Wuhan, China is where the flu started? Nah, I'm getting sidetracked here. So anyway, I told this woman that she ought to consider high deductible Plan G. I didn't hear back from her, so it's time for me to contact her again, because her 65th birthday is coming up in June. So I'm going to put this in a special stack. Now, I have another questionnaire. This is from somebody in North Carolina. It's from a woman named Karen. And she filled out a questionnaire after clicking on North Carolina on the map on the website. And she said, start date. And she didn't actually give me much information. She didn't say squat. She said she wanted Plan G, high deductible. which is what I've been recommending to people ever since I discovered it myself a few years ago. So I said, okay, now, North Carolina, Karen, here is what you would pay for some of the highly rated companies that I quote for people in your area for a 65-year-old female. And she did indicate she was a non-smoker. So one company was $42.50 a month. Another highly rated company is $34.76 a month. And the company that is my favorite, the most aggressive high deductible plan G rate, was exactly $30 a month. And I said, that's my personal favorite. They have a strong commitment to rate stability and customer service, and in addition to their A-plus rating. So I also said, I appreciate the opportunity to help you out. And looking back at the questionnaire, she's age 64 and her birthday is in June. She's going in the same pile as the other one, because I should really follow up with these people and find out if they need my assistance to enroll in the actual Medicare supplement. So then here comes a guy, first name Vinay, V-I-N-A-Y. Last name is involved in a series of movies where Harold and another guy go to White Castle, and Harold and the other guy go here and there and everything else. Anyway, so this was a nice letter to get from Vinay. He says, what does he say? He said, I can't find the first thing. He said a lot of good things about the book, and I want to read them because, frankly, Mr. Jones, due to mine and my wife's joint adjusted gross income, our initial Medicare Part B premiums will be very high due to IRMA. That's the success penalty, income-related monthly adjustment amount, IRMA. So he says, however, after retirement, our incomes will drop dramatically. Thus, the question is the additional cost due to IRMA for life, or will our Part B premiums decrease after some time to be more in line with what our income will be once we're retired? Kindly advise. Many thanks. P.S. I love your book. What a nice guy. So I said, congratulations on your financial success. The good news is that your IRMA, the success penalty, is or should be reevaluated every year because it's imposed due to the modified adjusted gross income reported on the tax return that you filed 2 years earlier. That means your surcharge should be removed 2 years after your high earnings period has ended. Further, I might advise you to appeal the imposition of the penalty just to see if you can get some relief due to the temporary nature of your high income. There are two forms designed to begin the process. One is SSA-44, and the other is SSA-561-U2. You should be able to download either from the internet, and I hope one of them will be appropriate to your situation. By the way, there is nothing an author appreciates more. Ooh, here comes my club. This is where I haul out the weapon and I whack him in the head. I said, there's nothing an author appreciates more than a positive customer review. Posting a short written review on the site where you purchased the book, most likely Amazon, would help me as well as any. Thank you for writing. So Vinay wrote back and he said, wow, I am moved by your quick response. Thank you so much for your caring and your responsiveness. When the time comes for my wife and I to purchase supplemental insurance, I'll be sure to reach out to you. We are still 3 years away from retirement. We just turned 62, and I am just starting to do my homework to understand how Medicare works. Your book has been immensely helpful, and I plan to follow your guidelines. And I said, thanks very much for the kind words. I'll be looking forward to our next exchange. Thanks in advance for your review. And he did post a review. He said, I posted this review on Amazon the other day, and for some reason it was bounced back. So I recrafted and reposted another review. So far, I have not heard anything from Amazon. I'll keep trying, though, as it's giving me much joy in writing a book review for your book. Wanted to share this to keep you in the loop. Then he shared a really nice review that he wrote for the new book. And I'm thinking that Amazon has taken it, but I don't know for sure because I think he's got a pseudonym that I wouldn't recognize. So that was a wonderful thing to hear. And of course, what am I doing? I got my stack upside down. I'm getting all recent stuff here. Randy, you should have helped me organize this better. How much time do we have? How are we doing time-wise?
We have about 3 minutes.
I got a couple of shorties here. This is where I should have started, which is at the older part of the stack. So somebody wrote a question that said, hi, Doug, after looking at several insurance formularies. Now, a formulary is a list of drugs that an insurance company uses. He said, I noticed that over-the-counter brand name vitamins, supplements, and other types of medicines, ointments, creams, eye drops, nasal sprays. Geez, how sick is this guy? Anyway, he said, I noticed though all those were listed in a category called OTC or over-the-counter. Does Medicare Part D cover these type of products? And I said, Medicare Part D only pays for things that require a prescription from a doctor to obtain. Some insurance companies throw in a discount program for over-the-counter items, but that's a marketing ploy, not a Medicare Part D benefit. And then here's another little, I think it's a shorty. Yeah, let's see. This gentleman said, I am in New Mexico. What are the options down here? And I got to read the guy's mind to find out what he's talking about. You mean for evening entertainment or for fine dining? What kind of options are you talking about? And I said, thank you for writing. May I ask what you are looking for in order to offer something that may fit your needs or your wants? It would be good to know a little or a lot more about your current situation and your goals. Either tell me what your current situation and desired outcome is, or maybe fill out the attached questionnaire. After that, I'll be happy to share my thoughts with you. So then, oh boy, there was a lot of back and forth here, but on Saturday, October 10th, he says, I'm looking for a high deductible, lowest cost plan. I'm healthy, no prescription drugs. I'm currently uninsured, but start Medicare A and B in November. That's November of last year. So I said, attached is a rate sheet from my favorite company that is very aggressive when it comes to high deductible plan G. So here's what the rates would be for a 65-year-old non-smoker in New Mexico. This is likely going to be the most aggressive the most aggressively priced Medicare supplemental product. Let me know if you want to move ahead with the purchase for November 1st. The most efficient way is to get it done by using your scanner or printer. If you don't have that capability, we can do it through the mail. And he said, thanks, I'll have a look. Where can I see the coverage? And I said, attached are a brochure and a 20-page outline of coverage, which addresses all the Medicare supplemental plans available from United American in New Mexico. This benefit description pertaining to your plan starts on page 13. If you were born before 1955, you might consider high deductible plan F. Same cost, but slightly better coverage. And he said, I was born in 1955, not before. I'll be 65 in November. And so he and I went back and forth and back and forth. And finally, pages later, we come to the end of our correspondence. I numbered each response and we get up to number 18. And all of a sudden he dropped off the face of the earth. And I have no idea what happened to him. Probably he was walking on the street and some other insurance agent snatched him and threw him in the back of a car and drove away to the headquarters in New Mexico for Medicare Advantage plans. That's what I'm guessing, but I don't believe he had any further interest in contacting me. He might have actually hired a local agent to help him decide what to do. So that was the end of my contact with him, and it's going to be the end of my contact with you for today because I think I just burned up that 3 minutes that Randy was talking about. Is that right? I didn't hear any crickets today.
Yes, you did. You'll be hearing crickets in 1 minute and 32 seconds. Well, however, before that happens, I have something to share with you. One night when I was in the hospital, I was having a real bad dream. It was terrible. I was I was wrestling around. I couldn't get comfortable. I couldn't really wake up, and I knew I was asleep. But then I said, okay, this I got to get out of this, because I was dreaming about Joe Namath and a Medicare Advantage plan.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, wow, when I'm in there in this hospital for the next 2 weeks, they're going to end up owning my house with a Medicare Advantage plan. And that's a bad idea.
Absolutely. You're lucky to get out of there with any assets left if you've got a Medicare Advantage plan. Now, do I hear some weird noises going on in there? Do I hear some other life form with a breathing problem?
Yes, that's my poodle. And he has chronic bronchitis. So he and I, we sound a lot the same now.
I bet he's happy to hang around with you. Finally, a kindred spirit. Oh boy! What?
So yeah, it was an interesting stay in the hospital, but I kid you not, this is the absolute God's truth, Doug. I was thanking myself daily that my wife was smart enough when I signed up for Medicare to get me a supplement plan rather than some of this. Oh. This costs nothing, and oh, by the way, you get nothing insurance.
Well, that was even before you and I met. So kudos to her for doing her own research and coming to the right conclusion. So
I totally agree with you. So anyway, audience, I'm really glad to be back. I'm glad to be doing my shtick with Mr. Jones. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes listening to Doug, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, now living in his fortress of solitude in Cave Creek, Arizona. But before we sign off, go to Amazon, buy the new 2021 book, get several, hand them out. Your friends and relatives will be very happy you did.
Well, Randy, that pretty much wraps it all up. So thank you very much for rejoining us. And I'm looking forward to our next opportunity, which I assume we'll be recording one over the weekend sometime.
Yes, we will.
Just let me know when you're ready for that. And otherwise, goodbye, audience. Thank you for joining us today.